Yeah, you guys were up hella early today. I woke up to like 10 to 15 texts about songs you guys want to play. I text you good morning at like 12:30.
Well, here's the thing. You're in your 20s still, young, having fun, doing your thing. And what we are, grown-ass men handling business. Yeah. This is Josh Madden.
And Trent Venegas.
My first person talking about music and shit. We got tonight, we have, well, our two favorite, well, REM is definitely, we're gonna do Smiths and REM tonight.
Yeah, and Smiths is 100% one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Of all time.
I mean, the Smiths more, look, there's some shit we gotta talk about too, because mm-hmm. I gotta see how you feel with, the Moz father and like how what he's like these days. I feel like he's a little here's the deal. I let it go because like look, I went and saw, this is totally unrelated but related, I went and saw Dave Chappelle a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He was doing a little private thing in the Peppermint Club, and I went mm-hmm. and saw him. It was like 150 people or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with all of Dave Chappelle's views. Like there's some views, but I would walk across the desert, you name it, I'd climb Everest to like to hear the guy talk because he's a fucking genius.
I mean, I kind of feel the same, and I do my best to not talk about kind of the crazy shit that Morrissey says often.
Yeah.
And he's always been this way. He's always been a provocateur.
Yeah.
He's always tried to, you know, he's very smart. He's very Machiavellian with his lyrics and with his interviews. Knowing how to press buttons to get people to talk about just him or the band, and then here's our new record, and then so
he's like Kanye's trying to be Morrissey with the way he does shit.
Well, that's a whole other. let's not even go there. It's like Morrissey's. Like we're not even gonna talk about solo Morrissey. We're gonna talk about the Smiths.
Well, look, I gotta tell you this. Everything I say in my life, I say it as if Morrissey was about to hear it. So anything, look, if anybody knows Morrissey, I'll tell you like. Everyone that knows me like knows mm-hmm. that like my thing, you know, it's like a thing to me. So it's regardless of what anybody has, like whatever I say, my love for Morrissey goes beyond anything.
I mean, but, like mine too.
I feel like here's the truth. I don't, and we'll talk about this, like how we discovered Morrissey in the Smiths.
Okay,
let's talk about the Smiths.
Yep,
the Smiths. How I discovered the Smiths is crazy because of where I'm from and how it came into my life. The other thing is, I don't think I chose to like the Smiths.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 150% convinced that regardless of anything anyone from that band says, I've had dinner, I was in a wedding party with Andy, I've been around it, and I don't, Morrissey is one of the five people probably on this planet that I get shook around.
Oh, absolutely.
And I will tell you this, that like I don't think at all like Morrissey could say anything about me or about anything, and I don't think I chose to like the Smiths.
Right.
I think it's something that it's like, do you like pizza? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm not Italian.
You just hear it, like, you know, like, and it just
happened to me.
Yeah.
And it just
happens. You hear happened, the Smiths whenever you... Okay, so, I mean, I know we got to get the music soon, but...
How old were you when you heard the Smiths?
I mean, I was well into my late teens. I did not know about the Smiths when the Smiths were around. So I didn't even hear about the Smiths till after the Smiths were over.
Yeah.
You know, Morrissey already had his solo career.
Yeah.
And...
Were you like Vauxhall and I? Was that like...
No. The first Smiths song that I actually paid attention to and heard was How Soon Is Now, but it was the Love Spit Love cover that was used in The Craft. So that was 1995.
Wow.
And I was like, what is this song? The song's amazing. It doesn't matter who covers it, that song's amazing.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend in college who was like, how do you not know that that's a Smiths song? And I was like, you know, when the Smiths were around, I was, you know, super into pop. I missed on the whole Manchester Brit stuff that was happening, you know, in the much, much cooler, older crowd than I was. And then I was like, I got the Smiths Hits, the first Greatest Hits album, and changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
I devoured that stuff like I was starving my whole entire life. Mm-hmm. And I went through, and I have been a massive, massive Smiths fan ever since.
My discovery of the Smiths. Well, should we play a song and then come back?
Let's not
bore people with our discovery.
Let's start.
Like, motherfucker, I don't care how you play a song.
Let's do The Boy with the Thorn in His Side. That's a nice little banger, poppy.
Yeah, that's good.
You're going to dance along to this
well,
one.
Well, yeah, and like 97 people have written songs that completely rip it off. So
yeah,
listen to it and see how many emo bands you know ripped this off. This is Boy with the Thorn in His Side by The Smiths on First Person. It is Josh Madden on First Person with
Trent Venegas.
We're talking about the Smiths tonight. We played The Boy with the Thorn in His Side and Panic. Panic is an interesting song because it's played at every DJ night.
Yeah.
I think I played it in every DJ set I've ever played.
Hang the DJ, hang the DJ,
The
DJ. I mean, fucking genius. It's so simple. So many of Smith's lyrics. And Morrissey, 100% responsible for the lyrics, and the amazing Johnny Marr,
mm-hmm.
100% responsible for the music.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot, you know, Morrissey gets a lot of credit for everything. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's always like the Morrissey show. Even when the Smiths were at their height,
mm-hmm.
you know, he with his the gladiolas, the flowers, and the big hair,
and
the women's blouses, like he was a front man. He was the star of that show. But none of that would exist if it wasn't for Johnny Marr writing all of the music to all of these indelible songs that will live forever.
Man, you always use big words that make me like you even more.
Well, you know, if you listen to Morrissey's lyrics, he uses big words too. And you talk about like these artists, like when you learn something from an artist, from a painter, from a sculptor, from a writer, or from a lyricist, that's when you know that that's someone that is important to you and you'll probably listen to or follow their work for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I learned so many big words from Morrissey. You know, like you listen to the Smiths and you kind of need a dictionary to understand what he's talking about. You know, he's singing about like, you know, mammary glands, and you're like, what is that? You know, if you're getting like, what is that? And he's like, oh my God, he's talking about tits. Like,
He said when he said, and the music that they constantly play says nothing to me about my life, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. You're talking to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you're saying what I feel. Like, that's exactly what it is, you know? And for me, it was interesting because we didn't have out people in our town. Nobody was out, right? And we had this, the counselor, you know, when you have, when you're in high school, there's like a counselor for every grade, right? There's like the freshman counselor, and they stay, just like the vice principal, they stay with your class.
Yep.
So Mr. Smith, I believe one of the older teachers at our school was Mr. Smith's.
You had like, a Mr. Smith?
Yeah, it was.
That's cool.
I think his name was Stephen Smith or something like that, but he...
not Stephen Patrick
Smith. No, Stephen Patrick Smith. No, but...
Was Morrissey your teacher? Is that what you're trying to tell
me? No, that would be wild. I'd be way better educated. Mr. Smith wore... I'll never forget it. He wore Clark's. It was the first time I saw Wallabies.
Mm-hmm.
Until I picked up a Q magazine and I saw Wallabies, like what people were wearing in the UK. And he wore white denim and a white Smith shirt tucked in, right? And he dressed very like, he was a Morrissey fan, right? He was affected by Morrissey. So I didn't see, I saw a guy who liked Morrissey, right? He had, he wore his hair like Morrissey. And I remember like that Smith shirt and it was a band that I hadn't heard. And I must've been like ninth or 10th grade. So probably like 1992. And I went, when I finally got to go and grab a Q magazine, Q, Kerrang, I don't think it was in Alternative Press, but I was looking at rock magazines, and my introduction to the Smiths was maybe a song or two and then articles, right? So I knew a little bit about, and I the way that you're talking, like how eloquent Morrissey, and the band presented themselves. You know, and they come from like Old Grey Whistle Test, Look It Up, you know, Top of the Pops, Look It Up, like, and all of that stuff. And like my introduction to the Smiths was this guy who, you know, I was like, what is your last name? Like, you know, like, what is this? Like a joke with the band. And it got, I got put onto the Smiths, and it was just like all of the messages were, there was no emo, there was nothing that was really talking to us about being melancholy, and melancholy as like it was okay to be melancholy, you know, and being an overweight poor kid that just heard this thing, and you know, and then as I learned everything I learned about Morrissey and the Smiths, they were like working class dudes,
from very working class city, working class families, next door to working class families,
And I think the nail in the nail in the coffin for me was when I found out, you know, Morrissey had been a New York Dolls. He was the head of the New York Dolls fan club, and I, you know, I saw someone who was from a town far away that was different, that was running a New York Dolls fan club that became a fucking rock star, you know, like like whatever that is for Morrissey, and I was like, okay, this guy has these, you know, and the impression that I got from Morrissey was always that he framed himself as different and accepting, you know, like, and the Smiths, I feel like, were so, you know, they made music for us, whoever us is, you know?
They chose, I mean, and they purposely chose the name The Smiths because it was so, like, John Doe. They wanted to be every man. They wanted the songs to be for every person, no matter where they came from, because we all have these sorts of feelings. Two things. When you talked about, like, there was no emo, there was no, like, when I think about, remember when we talked about, like, Susan the Banshees, like, they were goth before goth was anything?
Yeah, there was
like,
no,
they
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of, like,
yeah, yeah.
And, like, the Smiths were emo before emo was anything. And, and they weren't, and it wasn't like, I don't think it was like they were necessarily trying to be, like, we're so sad, because so many of the songs that have, like, melancholy lyrics or like, very macabre, they're upbeat. You know, it's like you marry Morrissey's poetry with Johnny Marr's music.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would write a riff. He would be inspired by other artists and try to emulate that kind of upbeat. Maybe not... He wasn't going for, like, pop, but he was a sound that he heard that he wanted to make with his guitar, his various guitars. And I just finished reading his memoir, his autobiography, Set the Boy Free. So I'm like on a super big Johnny Marr kick lately. I just saw him play here in LA at the Ace Theater. He was amazing. And I think I said on Instagram that, in my opinion, he's like probably the greatest living British guitarist right now. And I will stand by that. Because if you just think about, you know, and Johnny Marr not only with Smiths, he was in The. He played with The Pretenders. He was in Electronic. He was in Modest Mouse. And then now he's doing his solo stuff, which is just as good as what he was doing with any of those bands, including the Smiths. And he still does Smith songs in concert. And it's funny because people always ask me, like, isn't it weird to hear him sing the songs that, you know, when Morrissey sings? And I'm like, not any more weird than when I see Morrissey and his band play Smith songs. His band is not as tight as the Smiths. So you're kind of getting Smiths-like when you hear Morrissey do those songs because it's his voice, but the band isn't the Smiths. I wouldn't necessarily call what Johnny Marr does Smiths-like because the music is so powerful. His guitar playing is so powerful, cannot be duplicated, and he can sing. So yes.
Look, before we go into the next song, all I'm going to say is, like, as a kid listening to the Smiths, and it wasn't really... It's funny because now you go into, like, opening ceremony or something cool. By the way, I love, you know, I'm just saying you go anywhere cool and they're playing the Smiths, yeah. APC or something like that. And it was, like, not cool.
Not cool.
And it was, like, something that it was, like, boy, like, what you listen to, boy? And it's funny because, from the very beginning when I heard the Smiths, I was like, motherfucker, like, what's the difference between the Smiths and country music? You know, like, in emo, like, it's funny because I think the Smiths were are one of the first things that made it. The first, hashtag emo thing that made it to Top of the Pops and made it to, you know, they were on, like, dance shows playing, you know.
Songs that made it was okay to be in your feelings.
Yeah.
You could cry.
Yeah, and it was, like, it's funny because, like, so many people were like, boy, like, what's up? And you're just like, man, shut the fuck up. Like, what's country music?
Yeah.
It's whining about somebody took your dog in your truck, you know, like. I think, you know, they did it unabashedly, you know. I think for me it was something that, like, I live inside of this. I don't like the Smiths. I love the Smiths, and it's like I love fucking shit that I just like I said, like pizza, like you're like, what? Like root beer. I love root beer. Like I'm just saying, like, I love certain things and I did not choose to love them. You can't, like, stop loving the Smiths. I can't, like, you know, it's like,
you know, there's so much good music out now, and I spend so much time asking younger friends especially, like, what are you listening to? Like, turn me on to new bands, because I 100% could listen to The Smiths and Susie, just their discographies, for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life, on repeat. I mean, I have playlists that are just Smiths. I have playlists that are Smiths and Morrissey. I have playlists that are Smiths, Morrissey, and Johnny Marr.
People covering, like, the Smiths, people covering just Morrissey.
I can hear those songs over and over and over again. Yeah. And
wait, so we played two songs so far?
We only played two.
Okay, so what are we playing next? We're going to play...
Let's do Cemetery Gates.
Okay, Cemetery Gates. Okay, Cemetery Gates it is. Cemetery Gates, the Smiths, first person.
Cemetery gates, Keats and Yeats are on your side. I dread a sunny day, so I meet you at the cemetery gates. Keats and Yeats are on your side. Wild, wild is on mine. So we go inside and we gravely read the stones. All those people, all those lives, where are they now? Oh, with the loves and hates and passions just like mine. They were born and then they lived and then they died. Seems so unfair, I want to cry. You, sir, throw some sundown salutation to the dawn, and you claim these words as your own. But I've read well and I've heard them said 100 times, maybe less, maybe more. If you must write pros and cons, the words you use should be around. Don't plagiarize or take on loan. But there's always someone somewhere with a big nose who knows and trips you up and laughs when you fall. Will trip you up and laugh when you fall. Could only be your own. And then produce the text from whence was ripped some dizzy whore. Ages. the shyness that is criminally vulgar. I am summoner of nothing in particular. Shut your mouth, how can you say? I go about things the wrong way. I am human and I need to be loved, just like everybody else
So this is Trent Venegas on First Person here with
Josh Madden.
And that was Cemetery Gates into How Soon Is Now by The Smiths.
Yep. And you said How Soon Is Now is the first Smith song that you sort of...
The first Smith song that I ever heard, and it wasn't even the Smiths version.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Love Spit Love cover on the Kraft soundtrack, which is a really cool soundtrack, by the way. Mm-hmm. You should check it out.
Mm-hmm.
That soundtrack is made up of covers...
Look, Fishkin's taking notes over here.
Yeah.
I love this dude because he always takes notes.
Like, that's one of my favorite soundtracks. But beside that, so that How Soon Is Now was the gateway drug for me, for the Smiths.
I think it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think it is for a lot of people. I think it's covered by a fair amount of artists. Mm-hmm. I think talking about the Smiths is super important because I think that, like, there's so much that they did in that as artists going their different ways, they've continued to do for music. And I think, you know, we can't, with artists as they grow on and as they, you know, they're just people, you know. It's interesting looking at the Smiths the same way it is for me looking at Nirvana, because it was like a bullet. The what happened in a short period of time with a band's, the music that they made and how big it was. It wasn't like, you know, the Eagles or something, you know, like it wasn't. And, you know, I love prolonged careers, but I think that these people, like, it's interesting when you're making music and you're doing this stuff and you're saying this prolific shit, you know, and you're young. And, you know, the shit just fucking kind of exploded on them, you know?
The entire career of the Smiths is, like, I think 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it was over, and Johnny Marr was still only 23 years old.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, it burned bright.
Yeah.
It just exploded.
I think a lot, and I think this is the thing. Here's why we're doing this on the show. Guys, listen up. If you're still listening, you win. You're smarter than the average bear. No, look, this is the thing about the Smiths. Like, there's the greatest hits and there's stuff like that. I encourage anybody to watch. There's all these, like, unauthorized documentaries and shit. I watch all that shit. I watch every fucking unauthorized, made by some kid on YouTube kind of thing. Anybody that's nerdy enough to make information based stuff, I fuck with it. You know. And I just think it's great. I'm gonna say this about the. You know, the next thing we do in the show, which I'm excited as well, it's so important also to learn about what these bands made it through. Like, you know, the Smiths made it through a kind of crazy explosion in their career and the world all of a sudden paying attention to every aspect of their life, you know, their lives. And
from, like, Manchester, when the focus usually is on London. It was like these kids from Manchester.
Hell yeah. And they I think that it's good to learn about the Smiths and Marcy and Johnny Marr, because what they've done to be career artists and the hurdles and the stuff they've made it through and the message, you know. Also, you know, early, the Smiths was the first band I ever heard say meat is murder, or, like, you know, like,
I mean, like, an entire generation of people alive today are vegetarians because of the Smiths.
And the thing is, like,
that record,
it got cool. It got really, really cool. Hardcore, punk, like, all kinds of people. Now basketball players and all kinds of people are like, yeah, go vegan. But, like, they were doing it at a time when it was not, like, in vogue.
I will say, you know, that the whole animal cruelty thing is something that Morrissey has really, really, I mean, it's been his entire life.
And yeah.
In more recent years, he said more incendiary things where he's offended a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Because in his mind, killing animals is akin to killing humans. And he will say it in very strong terms that pisses a lot of people off. But, I mean, there's something to be said about someone who's so strong in their convictions. And, again, maybe his delivery in that is maybe not the best, but there's nothing wrong with fighting for animal rights and for wanting to live a quote-unquote more healthy lifestyle if you want to be a vegetarian.
Everybody, you know, the thing that I look at when people say stuff that I don't vibe with, everybody wants a rebel until they say something that you don't agree with.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come the fuck on, bro. Like, I have rebels in my life that are rebels that openly say stuff all the time that I do not agree with. And I appreciate that someone's out there saying stuff. I mean, I don't know. Like, don't hurt people. But I'm saying, like,
right. You'll
say shit and you're just like, it's another motherfucker saying some shit I don't agree with.
Right.
Like, what's new, you know?
Right.
Like, we give so much weight to people. And, like, you know, I'm leaving it with the music. With that said, what are we playing?
I just want to say one last thing, and I know we've talked so much about this. Culturally, when you think about, like, the lyrics that Morrissey was singing about and the imagery on their records, like the male form, Hand in Glove, their debut single, has a picture of a nude man from behind, like his ass, his very supple ass. And Morrissey was very famously asexual. He never wanted to talk about whether he was gay or straight.
Yeah.
100% as a young gay person, listening to Morrissey, seeing that imagery was so impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you talk about, like, growing up in, like, a working class city or family or whatever, and then you add the extra, is he gay, is he not gay, are these songs for me, maybe they are, and it's coded messages to me. I mean, that was so impactful for me, and I'm convinced it was impactful for other people as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we're talking about that, like, I think personally, and I someone that I, again, walk the line with things that if I don't own it personally, like, am I allowed to talk about it? I will say this, like, I think Morrissey was a genius in the way that he took certain aspects of things out of the conversation and let the music talk for itself. And
100%.
Also, and I think that, like, you know, it was a question of mine for a long time, like, why wasn't Morrissey, like, why didn't he take a stand one way or the other?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that here's the thing with Morrissey, and I could get emotional about it, but here's the deal with Morrissey. I think Morrissey taking that stance let people come together.
Mm-hmm.
I think people listening to I always listen to Morrissey and never had a question about myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that he did things let me not question. I don't have any questions about Morrissey. It's not. I appreciated it, and I think the way that Morrissey did shit. Like, I know tons of, like, huge, tattooed straight guys. I know every different kind, all kinds of people that love the Smiths and love Morrissey. Love the band, love the music, and I think that he, a lot like Prince, left the way that he did things, made it so that it was like, you know what, like, fuck it, what's the big deal, you know? And I think that it allowed.
There are very few artists that can make that have that impact. Prince wearing high heeled shoes and women's perfume and the straightest guys, you know.
Yeah.
Love him.
But I think that it's important because, look, if Prince was bisexual or whatever or gay or not or straight, like, I don't think we have to, like, pick our icons and our idols as they are exactly like us.
Totally.
I love Annie Lennox. This is a weird segue, but I remember watching Annie Lennox and someone, I forget where I was, but I was in a public place watching Annie Lennox, like, on a TV. I was singing Know Where I Love Yous, and someone said something about Annie Lennox that was, like, questioning her whatever.
Sexuality.
And I was like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'm standing here, like, completely enthralled. I love Annie Lennox. Like, I love Peter Gabriel. Not that this all has anything to do. I think, though,
artists who play with gender roles.
Yes.
And do it in an intelligent, smart way, not in a gimmicky way, I think are...
Well, I think it creates... Look, if you are a gay kid, however you're identifying, and you're 12, 13, 14, 15, mm-hmm. whatever age, if you're a 30-year-old man, mm-hmm. if you hear see the Smiths and you're like, wow, this guy, this is resonating with me the way mm-hmm. you're saying, and it's empowering to you because that's a hero that you need mm-hmm. that's some way communicating greatness to you or possibility or anything, that doesn't mean that I can't see it and they communicate to something to me that does. I don't think being a hero has orientation.
No, people can be heroes for everybody. A hero is a hero for everybody.
But I think it's important that here's what I hear you saying. I think it's important that we have heroes that are heroes to everyone, mm-hmm. regardless of, mm-hmm. of orientation. Mm-hmm. And I think that
the heteronormative way is the quote unquote normal way. And it's the benchmark that everything
yeah.
is set to.
Yeah.
So when you have something that is against that or is different from that,
yeah.
and you're like, what? Your ears perk up, like, yeah. you know, what? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah.
What is that? And I want to know more.
We grew up with Superman and Lois Lane, mm-hmm. right? We grew up with like heroes that were like, oh, it's like this woman needs us. Like
even Wonder Woman had yeah. her, you know,
yeah,
she
yeah.
was the hero, but yeah. her, you know, her boyfriend or fiance
was she
Steve
straight?
Trevor.
Wonder Woman was straight.
Yeah, Steve Trevor was her partner.
I don't even know.
She always saved his ass because he needed saving.
It's interesting to me because I just don't like.
Just because Wonder Woman came from the land of Amazons didn't mean that they were all lesbians.
I don't. But the thing for me was, I think early
on, that's a heteronormative way of thinking.
No, here it is. I didn't ever know because I honestly don't like my first crush on the ever was. I think Carol Burnett, you know, like honestly, like was comedy. I literally don't. For me, I think it's so dope that like the music was the leader of the conversation, and I think that like the way that the Smiths broke down everything, you know, it was just like the music came first to me, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they were cool too, but once you saw like the way they dressed and like. All the other stuff, you were like, I don't give a fuck what Morris is dope as fuck. He's like God level to me, so I don't give, it doesn't matter. Like,
one of the favorite things that I loved about Johnny Marr's memoir, Set the Boy Free, which I highly recommend you read. He loved clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, Morrissey was the star. Everyone knows about Morrissey, but like Johnny was right up there with them, side by side, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
That man loved, you know, he worked at these cool clothes stores and he talked about his leather jacket. I love my fucking leather jacket, and I just know what he's talking about when he's talking about like these jeans that he found at this store and this jacket that he wore, you know, on this shoot. Like
Liam and Noel from Oasis were huge Smiths fans.
Yeah,
are huge Smiths fans, and that when I discovered Oasis and saw that, it was like, I don't know. I think the Smiths only influenced the best, and I think like, you know, I think they broke down a lot of walls, and I think they. In so like a new innumerable amount of ways, like just put everybody on, you know.
So we should do like one more Smith song, right?
Yeah, one more Smith song.
This is the song that if you saw the Smiths in concert, or if you see Morrissey in concert now, or if you go see Johnny Marr in concert now, you buy the ticket because you want to hear this song, and they're gonna sing it. And I always say, if I end up pulling the trigger and getting a chest tattoo, like across my breastplate.
Yeah.
It's going to read, "There is a light that never goes out." So I think we should play that song.
All right, let's do it. "There is a Light That Never Goes Out" by the Smiths in First Person.
Take me out tonight, where there's music and there's people and the young and the light. Driving in your car, I haven't got one anymore. Take me out tonight, because I want to see people and I want to see light. Driving in your car, oh please don't drop me home, because it's not my home, it's their home, and I'm welcome no more.
All right, you listen to First Person. That was the Smiths with...
There Is a Light That Never Goes Out.
That's going to be Trent's tattoo.
I think I'm going to do it.
Get in your LBT.
I've been...
Lower back tat. Like right here? Like.
No. Fuck that. No tramp stamp over here. I want like a hardcore breastplate, chest tattoo. And if I do it, that's what it's going
to
be.
This kid that used to tour, I think I mentioned this before, but this kid that used to tour with my brothers, Maxwell Murder, Max Lagunas, dear friend, love him forever. Max had Viva Hate tattooed on his lips, mm-hmm. and they met Marcy at a festival, and he kissed his, took his hands and kissed his.
I love it.
Max is this kid, this little kid from Sacramento.
I would have died.
But,
It's interesting, we talked about... how the Smiths and the music and the lyrics and Morrissey in particular, the way they dressed and performed, how it spoke to, a gay audience. They weren't necessarily a quote unquote a gay band, but they spoke to that audience. A lot of the artwork had homoerotic imagery. And now the most hardcore Morrissey fans here in LA are like the straightest, machismo Mexican dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole Mexican Morrissey fan is so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
People assume that I'm a Morrissey fan because I'm Mexican, but I fucking grew up in Detroit, the suburbs of Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm the worst Mexican you will ever meet. I took French and German and Latin in high school. I don't really speak Spanish. Anyways, long story short. So you go to Morrissey shows now, and it's like 80% Mexican dudes who are 100% straight. They got their girlfriends in chokeholds, listening. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And, Morrissey speaks to them, and they are the most hardcore fans ever. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, I said it before, and I think I just think that, like, it's important that we have heroes that we can identify with. And I just think that, like, I think that Morrissey is one of... And the Smiths are, and that's another thing. Here's another thing, man. If you think about it, you have a guy who is not like nondescript. You're not out or whatever he is.
He in the 80s used to say he was asexual.
Yeah.
And then after he published his autobiography and there were some questions about some stories that he told.
Yeah.
He came out and said, I am humosexual. That is his orientation, and that's where
Here, consider this though: how awesome is it that a band of four people that has three straight guys in it, the lead singer is homosexual,
mm-hmm.
and writing these things and making their artwork for their albums, mm-hmm. and there's three guys who identify straight, and that, like, I just think that for me, every part about the Smiths is really amazing. The I think it is a true democracy sonically, in listening to it,
when you talk about the Smiths, it as amazing as Andy is as a bassist and Mike as a drummer,
mm-hmm.
the Smiths is Morrissey and Marr.
Yeah,
it's them. I mean, Johnny Marr wrote the music, Morrissey wrote the words, and the band was happy to let Morrissey handle the artwork.
Yeah,
he had an image of how he wanted the band to portray themselves.
Yeah,
and the rest of the band was just happy to let him do it, as long as he did what he did, and it was perfection. I mean, how can you argue with how it turned out?
It's great, man. It's great. Well, man, we turned this whole show into a Smith show. We're just going to do part two. Is going to be my...
Yeah.
Our next band will carry on into part two, but what do you want to close out the night with?
I think we should close out with the very first song that the Smiths put out.
Hand in Glove?
Hand in Glove.
The debut single? What was the record label? Was it Sire?
Rough Trade. So they went indie... from the start, and then after they got big, they fielded offers from majors, and they decided to stay with Rough Trade in the UK, and only did Sire in the US.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, schooling me.
I'm telling you, Set the Boy Free, Johnny Marr's memoir, I just got done reading it, so all the stuff is fresh in my mind.
Were you at the show? Were you at the show at the high school here when
I did?
Went,
yeah, I was.
You were, weren't you?
I was there.
Damn, I wasn't living here.
Let
yet.
Me tell you. Since I've been in LA, I have not. I think I've only missed one Morrissey tour, and he doesn't always tour, but yeah. He always plays LA.
And he's playing something coming up soon, right?
He's playing the Tropicalia Fest.
Yeah.
But I'm not a festival person because I want to hear full sets.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing Halloween night at the Ventura, at the Majestic Theater in Ventura, and I'm going to that. And he's also playing November 10th in San Diego, and I'm going to that.
Have you ever seen Morrissey in the Wild?
I have not.
I have.
So, you know, when Cat and Fiddle, not the new one, but the Cat and the Fiddle that was like the main one before it moved off Sunset, I think it was on Sunset. He used to hang out there all the time.
Yeah.
And I would always, if
Does
I was
he live in like, he's got to live in like Laurel Canyon or something.
He lived in like West Hollywood Hills area.
I saw him a couple months ago at the grocery store.
Oh,
and I walked in, I won't say the name because in case you shop there, Marcy, I don't want to ruin it for you. But there, it's a really nice, like a good grocery store. And I ran in. And I almost fell down.
I would have fallen down.
Damon Albarn, Anton Corbin. There's like a few people where I would fall down. Like I just like literally fell down. Like
I have to shout out my really good friend Amelia, who's an amazing hairstylist, just barber. You know, she's great. She's a great.
She cut his hair?
She cut his hair.
Once or like all the time?
A couple of times.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
And one more thing, and I know we keep. I would be. I have to shout out Jose Maldonado, who is a local DJ here. He has a show called Breakfast with the Smiths, The World of Morrissey, which he does weekly.
Yeah.
And he's also the lead singer, the front man of Sweet and Tender Hooligans, which is a Smiths cover band. And you want to talk about the Mexican Morrissey? Jose Maldonado is the Mexican Morrissey.
Did you ever get... Here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Morrissey, someone put out... A CD.
Yes.
That was a collection of things that
of Spanish covers.
No. Different. I'm down with that.
That one's
no.
Cool.
But there was something that Morrissey put out that was artists and songs that influenced this.
Oh yeah.
I forget how old I was. I feel like I was in college or something, but I bought it. It was like Nancy Sinatra and like all this stuff.
Yeah,
that, like,
Sandy Shaw.
Yeah, and I was like, I remember getting it, and I was like, this is going to be fucking tight.
You know what's
and
really...
I, like, let's do it. It's like,
what the hell is this?
But it's dope. Like, that's the thing, though.
Those are the artists that
just
inspired
Just like the
him.
Fucking Beastie Boys, Marcy, like, put, like, you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be dope. Like, it's going to be some, like, cool English rock and roll. And then you're like... Oh fuck! Like you're enlightened, you know. Like
you know, and even Morrissey can learn a thing or two. He very famously wrote this scathing. He used to review like records in like some local newspaper before, you know, when he was a teenager.
Oh, who do you?
And he wrote this scathing review of the Ramones, and he was just like, "They suck." Basically, the story was they suck. The New York Dolls are really where it's at.
Damn.
And you know he. Came to his senses eventually. He's now a huge Ramones fan. And for Record Store Day, I want to say a couple years ago, they released a Ramones record that he curated where Morrissey wrote, or he picked his favorite Ramones songs.
Yeah.
And then he wrote something in the liner notes as like a, not a take back, but like in opposition to the scathing thing he wrote about the Ramones when he was young about how much of a fan he is
now. It's good to go back and be like, I didn't know this, you know.
But when Morrissey can admit that he was wrong in the past, I mean, that says a lot because that man doesn't apologize for anything.
Man, we love you, Morrissey. We got to do a Ramones show too, by the way. I fuck with the Ramones
a long way, bro.
That's fucking crazy. All right, so we're doing Hand in Glove, the debut single. Rough Trade Records.
Yep.
Go look it up.
But please go listen to every Smith song ever. B-sides, live.
Listen to this show like two or three times because we said a lot of good stuff here.
Yeah.
We're doing great.
I think so.
We'll see you next week.